Our scripture reading this morning from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 14. And I just want to draw your attention to the fact that I will be reading from the Message translation of the Bible. Few things that we need to know about this translation. Number one, this is a translation directly from the original languages, the Aramaic, the Hebrew, and the Koine Greek. And it's not a translation of a translation. Secondly, it was written specifically for our current and new generation, using the language of our time. We don't realize it because we grew old with older translations of the Bible. They were fantastic 50 years ago. And that's part of us. And I'm one of you, I can assure you that. But when we speak the language of the next generation, and that's what we're humbly attempting to do, then we are inviting them in. Because I can assure you, the pews are emptying fast of people who pass away of our older generation. And it's with so much pain and sadness when you see generations move on. It's been part of my life for half a century because a minister always falls in love first with the older people in the generation because they're the kindest to him. The youngest just criticize him all the time. And that's what makes it so tough when they pass away. Hundreds and hundreds of people I had the privilege to. But we have an obligation for the next generation. And may we be wide awake to opportunities to speak their language and to speak the language of God that they understand. Luke 14, verse 7 through 14. He went on to tell a story to the guests around the table. And noticing how each had tried to elbow into the place of honor, he said, "When someone invites you to dinner, don't take the place of honor. Somebody more important than you might have been invited by the host. And then he'll come and call out in front of everybody, 'You're in the wrong place. The place of honor belongs to this man.' And red-faced, you'll have to make your way to the very last table, the only place left. When you're invited to dinner, go and sit at the last place. And then when the host comes, he may very well say, 'Friend, come up to the front.' And that will give the dinner guests something to talk about. What I'm saying is, if you walk around with your nose in the air, you're going to end up flat on your face." Ain't that something? What I'm saying is, if you walk around with your nose in the air, you're going to end up flat on your face. Language of our time. But if you're content to be simply yourself, you will become more than yourself. And then he turned to the host. "The next time you put on a dinner, don't just invite your friends and family and rich neighbors, the kind of people who will return the favor. Invite some people who never get invited out. The misfits from the wrong side of the tracks. You'll be and experience a blessing. They won't be able to return the favor, but the favor will be returned. Oh, how it will be returned at the resurrection of God's people." May this reading of Scripture speak to all of us today and reveal to us that God loves us deeply with a love that will never, never let us go. Brothers, sisters, friends, our reading of Scripture may have left some with the impression that Jesus was actually teaching his followers the rules governing socially acceptable behavior. Sort of a lecture in etiquette. So when you go to a feast, this way you behave and that's where you behave. And that is the first impression that you get. After all, there are certain things that people need to know when they attend, for instance, a wedding or a luncheon or a dinner. And etiquette is part of all our lives. In our times, to give you an example of good etiquette would be when you attend a wedding, afterwards at the reception, be polite. And if need be, wait in the receiving line. Even if you have to wait 10 minutes before you get a chance to congratulate both of them and maybe kiss the bride. Even if you have to wait 10 minutes. However, bad etiquette would be if you then kiss the bride for 10 minutes. That would be an example of bad etiquette. No, that was absolutely not what Jesus was teaching. His intention had nothing to do with good or bad manners at the table. An intense reading will reveal that the parable had more to do with teaching us the difference between arrogance and humility. Arrogance and humility. These are words that you and I recognize. We know arrogant people. We've all met them and we regret some of the meetings. We've all met kind-hearted people who know what humility means and people who live. And I've said on several occasions at funerals, I saw Christ in that person and that person with the humility that can only come from the example of the Prince of Peace. For instance, in our times, there's a rumor that a certain candidate for Congress took a polygraph test because only one reason, he wanted to know what this lie detector fuss is all about. But he actually flunked the test because he started a sentence with, "In my humble opinion." People therefore enjoyed hearing Jesus. Sad-faced Christians who do not appreciate Jesus' humor miss a lot of the richness and the fullness of his teachings of the Bible. Can you imagine for a moment, just imagine Jesus telling a story, not grim and sad-faced, but with actually a smile on his lips, with a twinkle in his eye when he said some things that we just read. For example, our text for today, Jesus wasn't serious in that moment in the sense that you better listen or something terrible will happen to you. He was actually the master storyteller. He was painting a picture. So he said to the people, when you're invited to a dinner, go and sit at the last place. And then when the host comes, he may very well say, "Friend, come up to the front." Now that wouldn't be in a church. Because you always have the empty pews up front and they all sit in the back. So maybe it would just be the other way around. But in this story, the host will say, "Friend, come up to the front." And then you must just imagine, with a modest smile, that humble person may stand up and he may walk down the aisle and nod to the people, being the victor of the moment. He can then have that expressed, excuse me, but the host called me, I'm going to sit up front. You see, there was in the original language, there's so much humor in the way that Jesus spoke, and that's why he reached the hearts of so many people. Folks were sitting around at times, grinning at the freshness of the insights of Jesus. But then came the moment when Jesus drives his point home by saying, if you walk around with your nose in the air, you're going to end up flat on your face. But if you're content to be simply yourself, you will become more than yourself. Think what that means. You will become more than yourselves. If you have anything that is special in your life, I need to remind you that all our talents are God-given. We do not have all that much to brag about. And sometimes, with the passing of our loved ones, when we see the changing of times, we are reminded that also you and I are taking a journey on planet Earth for a limited time. And the day will come for others soon than for others that they will forget about us, that we were ever in the sanctuary. And a new generation will come, and you and I will become part of the previous generation. And that's why, as Christians, we've learned the necessity of being humble before the greatness of God. Somebody said it so beautiful, God's gifts are not on shelves, one above the other, so that the taller they grow, you easier reach God's gifts. Indeed, they are on shelves, one below the other, so that by bending lower, you get the best that God gives. Do not measure your greatness by what you have gained, but by what you give. Somebody said it beautifully. He said, if you want to realize your own importance, take a bowl of water and put your finger into it. Take it out and then check out the hole. That's us. That's us. For a moment the finger is in the water and then we move on. So from the point of view of Jesus, what you and I think about others matters less than how God looks at us. If you and I see ourselves as important and high and mighty, God sees us as we are, often so shadowy and lowly. Can you imagine a truly humble person ever writing a book with the title Humility and How I Obtained It? I do not think so. Humility is an elusive virtue, impossible to manufacture. I believe that humility emerges from the crucible of character. Humility is naively unaware. Someone said that the moment that the robe of humility in your life becomes visible, the sash loosens, revealing nothing but buck-naked pride. Jesus was not observing and commenting on etiquette and guest behavior while dining with the Pharisees. Jesus was revealing the mind of God to people of all ages. Actually, Jesus was talking to you and me about you and me. And then when we read again and when we look at the parable, we must say how interesting, how touching, how very true. Those who are avoiding human glory and praise and consider themselves belonging in the humble seats are those who are most deserving of honor. No, friends, not by people, but by God. It's God's way. It's God's way for you and me. We need to be more humble about ourselves and our opinions and our trying to dominate others in our lives. It's Lenten time. It's a time when we remember that when you point a finger at someone else, you are pointing several fingers back at yourself. It's that time when we do not look out to others, but for once, when we stand before God as we are, so deeply in need of the Spirit of God to touch us and to change us and to renew us and to make us God's people. It all becomes very clear when you ask yourself, now who's speaking? Who's telling this story, this parable? It was Jesus. When did he tell the story? Just before he set the classic example that would crown him with God's favor and transform him for people of all ages to be the Prince of Peace, the Prince of Glory. My friend, while Jesus was teaching us about humility, he was already nearing the shadow of the cross for you, for me. And that's what we need to consider when we reach out today to Christ's table. It's of him that we say, when I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my Lord. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. You and I can choose to move through this Lenten period untouched, unchanged, or we can choose today. My soul, my heart, my love belongs to you, my God. Amen.